Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hey guys, it's Elena.
And it's Candace.
And you're listening to Cousins on Crime.
My microphone with my nose.
It's like, are we eating the microphone?
Yes. My nose is bigger than anticipated. How are you, Lena?
Oh, I'm good. You know, just a work day. Yeah. Going from one thing to the next.
You know, it's the most Monday-ish Tuesday.
I agree.
And I'm not here for it.
No, ma'am.
Luckily, it's Taco Tuesday.
Okay. You going to get your tacos?
Yeah. Going to get some roses after this.
Okay.
It's the only thing.
Yeah.
It's the only thing that can be make it better.
Yeah. Especially on a Tuesday.
I know. So, what you got?
Yeah, we're going to get into it because Candace has to go get her tacos.
I got to get my tacos.
We got things to do.
Time is of the essence.
Right. Today, we're talking about the Lorangu, and I'm not sure that I'm saying this correctly because I did not check the pronunciation. It's the Lorangu 2682. That is a ship that would take a crew of 30 plus men, squid fishing.
Okay.
Have you heard this?
No.
Okay. So this ship measures at 30 to 40 meters long and, with a 330 kilowatt power engine. For all you that want to know that.
Means nothing to right? me, but I believe that it's long and strong.
So the parent company of this ship is Shandong Ronchang Zhenfa.
Watch your mouth. This is a family show.
I'm trying really hard. Just work with me here, okay? Shandong Ronchang Zhenfa Seafood Limited.
Okay.
We're going to call it Zhenfa Seafood Limited. That's still a tongue twister
that's
for me.
Still long.
Okay.
Okay.
So they would be sending 8 ships out to sea, including the Lorangu 2682. The plan was to be out at sea for a 2-year journey.
What?
Of
no.
fishing for squid.
No, thank you.
I mean, this is a commitment.
This is an industry, obviously.
Yes.
That I care nothing about because I don't eat seafood and I don't eat squid.
I know, like, is there really a demand for squid to be out
such that they're out for 2 years?
Yeah,
that is a little bit much.
Yeah, I guess there's a lot of people.
Do we use squid for other things like ink?
Okay,
I don't know, I just made that up.
There is squid ink, so
anyway,
I don't know. I should have researched that for you,
well,
but I did not. So they would travel to the waters of Peru, travel around South America, make its way through Japan and back to China in the Pacific Ocean. The ship docked in November 2010 at Port Shadao, located in Ronchang City, China.
Okay.
So that the crew members could get come aboard and get acquainted with each other, get acquainted with the boat, load all their stuff.
So just, this is like the first, they're setting sail. They're just loading the ship at this
yes.
point. Okay.
Yeah.
For a 2-year tour.
That first night, not everything was even loaded on the ship yet. And at 8 p.m., as some were doing work on the boat and others were playing cards or relaxing, laying in bed, scrolling on their phones, The chef of the crew, his name was Yen, began shouting frantically.
Oh, no.
Murder!
What?
Murder! Now, this went on until 1 a.m.
Wait, what?
8 p.m. to 1 a.m.
They just heard him?
Yeah, he's like, they were trying to get him to calm down. He would calm down and then he would start shouting again.
Wait, I don't understand. So he was, and so they approached him and he was yelling this.
Yeah, he's and like, they were murder, just like, murder.
That's all he said? Did he speak English?
Well, no, this is all translated.
Okay. So from, they got no more words other than murder.
Not that I have seen any in any other report. He may have said something else, but he was like.
But everyone was like, shush.
He was freaking out.
Shush now.
The captain would get him calm around 1 a.m.
Okay.
And then he would just go back to shouting. So 1 a.m., he's the ship's captain, finally got him on the deck and he chewed him out. He's like, you've got to calm down. He sat down and behaved himself after that. After Yan had sat there a while, he got up and disappeared. No one knew where he went.
What?
Exactly.
I have so many questions.
I know. So this was the very first night. And so I don't know if they were just trying to ignore him. Or
like ask more questions though, like what do you mean murder, show me where like what do you mean?
Yeah.
They were like, pipe down, we've got squid to deal with.
The captain, it says in the report, the captain chewed him out and was like, sit down and be quiet. Like,
okay,
so he sat down and then he disappeared. Nobody knew where he went.
Really be quiet for real.
So the crew thought he had gone to the bathroom, but then they realized Yan had jumped into the sea in the docking area. They hadn't even left the docking. The docking area. So think about it. It's dark, 1 a.m.
Yeah.
And the water was freezing. It's November. Mm-hmm. And it had gone really cold that day. And there was strong winds blowing. So, you know. Boats rocking around. Right. It's cold, dark. It's actually very dangerous to swim in the docking area with several boats.
Uh-huh.
And so Yan, once he's in the water, he's swimming around the harbor.
What? He's just swimming?
He's swimming and he's still like frantic and calling out murder.
Oh my Lord, the sky right now.
It took about half an hour until they were able to rescue him out of the water and they sent him home. They're like,
just go home, please.
Yeah.
We do not want to be stuck with you for 2 years on this boat.
If this is the first night.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, he had been on several ships and journeys as an experienced chef, like in the past. He was never known to have such
behavior.
Oh
man, I forgot
behavior.
He was the chef.
Yeah. Oh, no. Who's going to make their food?
Man.
Yeah, so he'd never had this behavior before, but he would sit this journey out.
Yeah.
The company chalked it up to Yan being under a lot of stress in the recent days since his mom had just recently died.
Aww.
But they did say once he was at home for a few days, mm-hmm. he was much better.
And meanwhile, everybody's making grilled cheese and PB&J.
Well, there was another chef who was brought onto the boat.
Nice.
That is Shia Keong.
Okay, and this was after?
After.
Like, she gets this phone call and they're like, you're up.
Yeah.
And she's like, crap.
Well, it's a man.
Oh, okay.
So, just.
Sorry.
Just so
sorry,
you know.
Sorry, guy.
But yeah, so they're like, I don't know if he was already going to be on the boat or if they called him and said, hey, we need you.
Mm.
So yeah, he's the new chef, Shia Keong.
Okay.
It took a few days for supplies to be loaded. They loaded all kinds of fish, meat, rice, noodles, and fresh vegetables. Besides what the company provided, the crew was able to bring what they wanted, but they had a weight limit, each person.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, it's 30 plus. So on this boat, there was supposed to be 35 men. But now there's 33 because there was another man that was supposed to come along, but he had hurt his arm or something.
I would also hurt my arm.
So yeah, they were two crew members down. So okay. 33 men. They all had a weight limit to bring into their little rooms that they were staying in. They had mm-hmm. bunks that they would sleep on.
Okay.
The crew was split into three groups. The management team from Dalian, probably saying that wrong, Captain Li Qingquan, First Officer Fu Yizhong, Second Officer Wang Yongbo, First Engineer Wen Dao, Second Engineer Wang Yanhong. Did I do good?
That was really good.
probably butchered all those. Then there was the crew from Inner Mongolia and the crew from Northeast China.
Okay, tell me all their names.
I'm not going. I will later at the end of the episode. So if you don't want to, if you want to laugh at me, then you can do that.
They probably get our names wrong.
Oh, probably.
And laugh at that.
Probably.
So we're sorry.
But I will say their names just to give them.
We're saying them out of love.
Yeah. Give them honor here in a little bit. Mm-hmm. You can hear me.
Okay.
Do that. So some of the Mongolians only spoke amongst themselves because they only knew that their native language.
Yeah.
Most of the crew was recruited by a family member who was already on the boat or a friend. Crew members were told that they would get 45,000 Chinese yuan a year.
Okay.
Amounting to about 7,000 US dollars a year.
Okay.
But to them, that was good.
Well, yeah. I mean, they don't have living expenses and
right
bills.
And they would also get a bonus when all was said and done.
Okay.
For a lot of people, this just made sense for them. A lot of them were financially poor.
Mm-hmm.
They could go work, have their responsibilities, make the money, and they could be saving money since they would be on the boat.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't just be able to frivolously spend.
Yeah.
There were things on the boat that they could buy, which these items were drastically marked up in price.
Gosh.
By the company. So by the time that they got back home, they should have some kind of nest egg.
Mm-hmm.
Like one crew member, Chui Yong, one night he was playing mahjong and drinking with his buddies in their room. He got really drunk and burned the building down. This was before he went on the boat.
Right.
So he had a lot of compensation to pay the building owner right. back. So he signed up on this trip so he could earn the money to pay that back.
Okay.
Yeah. A man named Zhao planned on marrying his girlfriend and starting his own company when he got back home. Zhao, actually, this is an alias name for okay. him. He gave an interview on his account of what happened on the ship. And so what I have to tell you is mostly his account.
Oh.
So on December 27th of 2010, the Lurongyu 2682, along with the other seven ships from the Zinfa Seafood Company, departed the port. Once all of their certifications were checked and they were cleared by customs and port authorities, they were off. 10 minutes later, they stopped the ship in the water. The company had sent a boat after them with a dozen more men.
What? Wait. Okay, go ahead.
So, yeah, the men on this boat coming to meet them did not have their certificates. They were not certified to be fishing on the boat.
But they were kind of under the table?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
Got it.
So since they weren't certified, they would not have been able to be cleared by customs.
Right.
So they were being very sneaky.
This is so clandestine.
Lu Guido was one of the uncertified men getting onto the boat in the middle of the ocean after departing port. So Lu brought 165 cartons of cigarettes and stacked them up on his bunk right up to the ceiling.
Me. That's what I'd bring. You have a weight limit. Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to be on the boat for 2 years. Going to need 165 packets. Yeah, so he went through 3 packets a day himself.
Wow.
Yeah, but he also planned on selling some of these for profit.
Okay, I like his side hustle.
Yeah. On the trip out, everyone got on fine. The new guys were getting seasick. You know, they've never been on a boat before, or they have, may have, I don't know, but this was their first big...
I think that would be me.
...sea trip, yeah.
Green in the face.
Yeah, it was like for a couple of weeks they were... seasick. They spent all day playing mahjong or paijiao, a poker game.
Okay.
Talking about what they'd do with the money when they got back, you know, just kind of shooting the breeze. When they'd almost reached Peru, Zhao was in the dorm one day and saw Lou Guido. He left his notebook lying there on the bunk, and he flipped through it, and it had all sorts of numbers written down. When he asked Lou what they were, he said that it was the ship's coordinates. When asked why he's writing the ship's coordinates, Lou's just like, oh, no reason, just for a bit of fun.
Okay.
Zhao said, actually, it was really hard to tell what Lou was thinking. He always seemed to have something on his mind, but no one knew what it was.
Okay.
Nearly 6 weeks after they had left, at the end of February of 2011, the ship arrived in the waters of Peru, and they started fishing. Peru is one of the biggest squid fishing areas. Okay. If you need to go get your squid.
I was wondering.
That's where they're at.
I've always wondered.
The new crew members would soon realize just how arduous this work is.
Yikes.
They had to have lamps at the end of their poles to lure the squid. The poles that, or they had hooks at the end of each pole that they could hang the lamps from. Mm-hmm. When you had a dozen or so set up, they were so bright you couldn't look at them for long because they would hurt your eyes. Gosh.
This sounds miserable. I went off.
I know.
I'm not even on it, but I went off.
Yeah. So they lowered the hooks and waited to feel a bite. If you brought in one that weighed 10 pounds, it was too heavy and you would need 2 people to pull it in.
Mm.
The boat would be constantly soaked in squid ink. So there's your ink, yeah. Candace. And it smelled of urine.
I was about to say, this stinks.
This.
Like, I can smell. I can smell.
The stench.
Oh.
Your skin would never be dry. You know, just water splashing all over you.
Would it stain your skin?
Oh, I don't know. Wonder? I don't know. That's a good question.
Oh.
Interesting. So when the squid are caught, they would make loud hissing sounds.
That's terrifying.
It is.
Wait, they did this in the dark?
Yes, because okay. They would have to lure it right. With the lights.
So that's terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I got to look this up now. I got to see what they sound like.
I know. I read that on a good day, a squid boat could catch around 100 tons of squid. So
there's a weight limit on this. No, seriously.
No, I know. Like, and I'll get to that here in just a second.
Okay.
But yeah, so just imagine how loud and annoying the hissing would be with
my gosh.
All these squid. In the morning when the fishing was over, the catch had to be divided into trays of 30 pounds each. Any squid over 8 pounds had to be like cut up and split up.
Ew.
First you weigh it, then you sort it out into different parts, you wash it, and then you freeze it. Okay. So here's where you get rid of the weight. So there were buying ships out at sea that would meet up with the fishing boats.
All right.
They would meet up and ever so often. I don't know how often.
And take it off their hands.
Right. They would intercept the proceeds. Okay. When your hold is full of squid, you can unload into the buying ship. And so you could, you know, stock up
mm-hmm.
again. Turn and burn and turn. Mm-hmm. Turn and burn. Whatever.
Gotcha.
However you want to say it. Captain Lee was known to have a bad attitude.
Great. It just keeps getting better.
He's over 30 men.
Captain sucks.
Yeah. he's got to have this persona, I guess. Mm-hmm. He would physically discipline the crew whenever they disobeyed or argued with him.
What, like bend over?
Well, so if anyone talked back to him, he would just give him a black eye.
Oh.
Punch him right in the face.
Okay.
Crews on the other squid boats would finish around 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning. But Captain Lee's crew was made to work till 10, 11, sometimes noon. By the end of the shift, everyone would just be slacking off. And in the end, the captain stopped caring and just got mad. He was just mad.
Yikes.
He was always yelling, but nobody took any notice. They're like, oh, whatever. Mm-hmm. No respect. So Lou Guido was one of the most successful crew members. He started out catching about 13,000 pounds of squid a month.
Yikes.
He was known to be pompous at times, but was a hard worker and was helpful to the guys that he liked.
Okay.
Zhao and Lou were close to each other. Zhao tried to follow what Lou was doing and would get tips from him, like... if there were no squid at 50 meters, go down to 70 meters. Mm-hmm. Like, he just was learning a lot from him. Lu Guido, Chui Yong, and Huang Jinbo, and a few other guys of about the same age would all chat together. But Lu, if he didn't like someone, he wouldn't give them any time of day. Zhao said, although most of the time I got along well with him, I couldn't help thinking he was full of himself and looked down on the rest of us. After working so hard for the last few months, the crew had started hearing that they weren't going to be getting paid the 45,000 yuan a year.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah. And they're already out to
sea. Oh, no.
Now they were being told that they would be getting 0.25 yuan per pound.
What? Oh, per pound?
Per pound of squid caught.
Okay.
But 0.25 yuan, I don't know exactly what, I mean, that's, I feel like that is a rip off.
That's a rip. But they're bringing in hundreds of tons?
Tons.
So that's...
Supposedly.
2,000 isn't a ton. 2,000 pounds.
Yeah. I didn't do the math.
If they're splitting it up, that's still not great.
With 30 men. Right. Exactly. So I didn't do the math, but there was a report that said that meant that they would have to catch over 81,600 kilograms of squid to make the 45,000 yuan.
So... it's merit-based, essentially.
Exactly.
It's no longer you're getting paid and then you just, like, do whatever.
Right.
You.
It's not you are getting this money. It's you could if you were productive.
Yikes. I bet that did something for the morale.
Oh, absolutely. And we're going to talk about that. I mean, this is where it all changes. Lou intended to sue the company when he got back, but the company had used a fake seal to sign the contracts with the crew. It would be basically null and void.
Oh my gosh.
Because
who is in charge here?
This company, whatever it's called.
Fake people.
Yeah. Yeah. They were actually a group of illegal sea workers.
Nice.
So knowing all of this, on top of the treatment the crew was receiving from the captain, the crew stopped working so hard. Yeah. Come May 2011, their motivation was gone and they were just disgruntled.
This made
Captain Lee angry. I mean, as if he already wasn't.
Yeah.
They offered suggestions to the captain, like a rotating schedule for the crew, because they were... there were times when the crew was getting like an hour of sleep a day for 3 days
Yikes.
Straight. If they could rotate schedules, this would help them be more refreshed.
Well, and they'd be more productive.
Right.
Yeah.
It sounds like a legit solution to me.
Yeah.
But Captain Lee, he denied the request. He's like, nope, y'all are going to work.
Yikes.
Lou requested to be sent home. Like you just asked a while ago.
I would be finding the nearest lifeboat.
Just let me out. Yeah, he requested with the captain to be let go. But Lou didn't have the proper documentation to be on the boat in the first place, remember?
Lou.
The captain had replied, "You can't go back. You don't have your papers, so no other boat will dare take you. It would be people smuggling, basically."
Whoa.
He said, you'll just have to stick it out, like it or not. Captain Lee refused to turn around and take him home. I mean, it had already been
months. Say, they're out to sea.
Yeah, out to sea.
They're there.
Out there. Lou would make remarks to his friend Zal, like, "It's not a crime to kill someone on the high seas, you know." So he's brewing.
Yeah.
One evening, Lou approached Zal and asked to see the knife that Zal was working with. When he saw the knife, Lou said, "That's a good knife. Give it here. Can I have a look? I'll give it straight back once I've had a try." When he handed the knife back to Zal, Lou said, "We're going to hijack the ship later. Want to join us?"
"Oh, I'm in."
Well, Zal said, "Count me out."
Wow.
Lou said, "When it's all over, we're going to get anyone who didn't go along with it and chuck them over in the life raft."
That's not part of my plan. No. I was thinking we hijack the ship and go to the nearest Chick-fil-A.
Right.
And, yeah. But no, I'm not tossing people overboard.
Yeah. Well, this was his plan. He was going to chuck them over in the life rafts. And then he said, "We'll contact another boat to come and get us so we can go home."
Oh.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
"I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse."
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
"Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me."
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
This sounds like a terrible plan.
Zal told him, "Look, I'm not up for this. I can't do it." Lou said, "Well, fine." Then he took the squid knife back out of Zal's hand and walked off.
Oh.
Zal went back to jigging for the squid, and he said he was pretty scared and didn't dare say anything to anyone because he didn't know who was allied with Lou at this point.
Yeah.
June 16th, 2011, Lorongyu 2682 was fishing for squid in the deep ocean near Chile. Lou formed an alliance and a plan with some of the crew. They were going to hijack the boat. Lou ordered Huang Jinbo and Wang Peng to destroy the communications equipment and JPS systems.
Wait. Y'all are going to need that at some point.
Oh, he's got it figured out.
Oh, well, doesn't sound like it.
So they disconnected it, but it's not completely destroyed.
Okay, all right.
I will give you that little foreshadow. Lou ordered that all lifeboats be locked up so that no one could escape. He also confiscated all knives.
Okay.
Huang Jinbo came out. He hadn't done any work for days because he kept fainting. I guess he was so exhausted. I don't know.
Oh,
he was all dressed up on this particular day. He had even put shoes on. I guess you don't wear shoes on these boats because they're going to get wet anyways.
All right.
When asked what he was up to, he just kept walking and went straight to the captain's cabin. Lou followed and a few others went up there too. Zal knew it was starting.
Oh, my.
Lou was shouting to weigh anchor and bring in the jigs. Halt everything.
Wow.
Someone was standing guard over one end of the gangway ladders, the one that went up to the upper deck. He had a knife, and that's when they all knew things were just really bad.
This is terrifying.
I know.
It just keeps getting worse.
I know. And let me just tell you, I hate watching movies that are based...
like on the sea?
On the sea, in space, where there's nowhere there's to go.
Yeah.
I don't like those movies. If Chris asked me to watch movies where you're stuck in space or on a boat, I'm not watching it because of things like this.
Yeah.
Jiang Shilong, Bao Day, Shang Zi forced themselves into the captain's cabin and threatened Captain Li to turn around and go back to China.
Turn the ship around.
Yeah,
we ask nicely the first time.
Right. So now here's your chance.
Yep. Turn it around.
The officers came into the cabin and ordered the men to stop the hijacking. Okay.
Okay, guys. Stop this madness.
Yeah. The officers were like, look, we can come up with some kind of agreement. Xia, the chef, the new chef on the boat, then ran into the cabin with a knife saying, who do you think you are trying to hijack the ship? He was going to be, he was going to save the day and get these hijackers.
Ugh.
Jiang Shilong lunged at Xia and stabbed him twice in the back.
Oh, no.
He stabbed him once in the chest and twice in the neck with a scuffle going on.
Yikes.
Jiang and Xia had already had arguments at other times on the ship. The two of them already had it out for each other. So they were known to have these arguments. Mm-hmm. And so Jiang didn't have any problem. Like, he's like, okay.
He's like, all right, I'm taking this guy out. Xia's not doing good on shifts.
I know.
Yikes.
I know. You got to make sure these
people. New drinking game. Take a drink every time I say yikes, which is every 5 seconds.
Yeah. Xia's body was then thrown overboard into the sea.
Disrespectful.
Yeah. Xiao could hear shouting from down below. And a little bit later, Huang Jinbo came down to where Xiao was and asked for a cigarette. He's like, I need a cigarette. Zhao could see that Huang's hands were shaking as Huang told him that Chef Xia was dead. The group of men that hijacked the boat kept Xia's murder a secret from all the others. They told the crew that they had that he had been dragged into the sea by a big fish.
Whoa.
Which was apparently a common thing, like could happen out there in the...
Okay, I mean...
If you're at the end of the boat and a big fish can grab you, you know, Jaws, there is that movie. See?
Yes.
See? They have them.
Sharks, for sure.
All communication from the boat stopped for 3 weeks. The company did not know what had happened. Were they lost? Did they encounter something terrible? Yes.
I would assume, like, they have tracking, right?
So the GPS system also was disconnected.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't send anyone out?
Where are they going to go? I mean, they know where they were then. But by the time they got to them, they could be long gone.
Right.
Liu forced Captain Li Qingquan to reset the satellite navigation to go back to China. And Wang Ping took over as pilot. Liu then had the management crew locked up.
Gosh.
A group of 4 men armed with knives took turns watching and guarding them. There were 9 men in Liu's Guido's gang to begin with. Most of the decisions were made by him and Bao Day. Bao Day was a leader for the Mongolian group. It was estimated that it would take about 50 days to get back to port in China.
Oh my gosh.
About a month into the trek back home, things started to calm down and relax. The men knew that they were getting closer to home and getting to see their family. Liu started to unravel, though. He had control over the ship during this time, but the ship's auxiliary engines had started to fail.
Oh, Lord.
Wen Dao, one of the officers, had secretly been sabotaging the onboarding equipment and broke the auxiliary engines on purpose. On July 9th, mm-hmm. Beijing Maritime Satellite Ground Station was finally able to get into contact with the boat. Captain Lee was allowed to answer the call. I don't know how this came on.
Maybe someone
they did have a satellite phone that you could call out. Maybe
someone got a hold of it.
Yeah, I don't know exactly. But so Captain Lee was able to answer the call and said that the boat was in working order and was headed back to the port in China. Then there was another period of silence from the boat on satellite communications until August 12th, 2011. And we'll get to that in a little bit. So Liu also heard rumors that a group was forming to capture the hijackers.
And what a calamity. This is a circus.
I know.
Yeah. How could you trust anyone?
You don't know.
I would be hiding in a box or
You're
something.
Exactly right.
In my bunk.
Yeah. Finding somewhere.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you about Zhao's account about that here in just a minute.
Okay.
But yeah, this group was planning to regain control over the boat. And he just couldn't let that happen. He had a plan and he wasn't going to let anybody stop him. The night of July 20th, in the waters west of Hawaii, those already asleep on the boat were awakened by loud blaring music. Now, this was already on nights that they would fish. They would have supposedly they would play loud music as a alarm to say, okay, it's time to come fishing.
Okay.
So the loud music, I guess it hadn't really happened since they were already on their way home.
Right. And they weren't fishing really.
Right.
Because
and if they were, it was just to waste time.
Right.
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. So this night, the music starts blaring again. Zhao talks about hearing screams followed by splashes.
Oh, no.
Liu and his gang went through the boat, finding anyone who Liu saw as a threat. They would stab them and throw them overboard. As Huang Jinbo lured Wen Dao out of the fourth berth cabin and into the pilot room on the poop deck, part of the gang attacked and stabbed Jiang Mi in the cabin and threw his body overboard. Wen Dao returned back into the cabin and Jiang and three others stabbed him repeatedly, then threw him into the water. Next up were the crew in the 12 berth cabin. First, it was Yu Peng and then Liu Gang. They were called out, stabbed repeatedly, and Jeez. Thrown aboard or overboard. Wang Yangbo only woke up when they began stabbing him in his bed.
Oh my gosh.
He reached up and tried to grab them, but he couldn't. Then he fell on the floor and they each stabbed him again. Then Liu Guido, I can't say his name, came in and stabbed him repeatedly and was taunting him as he was stabbing him.
Jeez.
Like, how does that feel? Like,
this seems
awful.
Too
just
much.
Evil and hateful. Zhao stayed in his bed and he was scared. He said when Liu saw him, Liu said, I asked you to join us at the start, but you wouldn't. Are you scared now?
Yikes. I'd be like, yes, please don't stab me.
I don't think I would be able to even say anything. Zhao said he seemed excited and had a huge smile on his face. Then he said, I won't touch you. You're my brother. You'll get home fine.
Oh, okay.
Liu used the captain's men as examples. He stabbed them twice to show two other men how it was done. Then he pushed them overboard.
Whoa.
Jiang Shutao had been murdered on the starboard side of the vessel and thrown overboard. Liu had thrown Chen Guizhun into the water from the foredeck alive. In the afternoon, Wu Guzhi was stabbed and then forced to jump overboard.
My God, this is a massacre.
Yeah. That's exactly what my next sentence is. At the start of this massacre, Liu Guidao handed Mei Lincheng and Wang Peng a sharp knife. He gave each of them a knife and told them, you two need to get your hands dirty. Go ask Bo if he has a bank card, and if he doesn't, kill him.
What?
He needed money. When he got home, he was going to have money. So.
Well, that's the thing is he's not thought any of this through.
Right. It's a new idea at every turn.
Well, he feels like he's got time to figure out his next move. He's just going to wing it.
Yeah. And that's exactly what he's doing.
Most murderers do this very thing.
Yeah.
Maybe on a smaller scale, but
true. The two men made a surprise attack on Bo Fujun as he was pushed up against the side of the ship, bleeding heavily. Oh, Liu kicked him into the water.
Ugh. The carnage.
Yeah. One other man, Ma Yuchao, went missing. No one knew exactly what happened to him. They assumed that he jumped overboard willingly to get away.
Mm-hmm. That's what I would have you believe.
Yeah. Well, Liu made a comment that he didn't plan to kill Ma. Like, he kind of laughed. He's like, why did he jump? He didn't have to. I wasn't going to touch him. He was one of my spies, is what he said.
Okay.
No one really knew if Ma was a spy. They just felt like Liu was saying that just to play mind games.
Yeah.
So at this point, like you said a while ago, everyone didn't know who to trust. Mm-hmm. You had to watch your every move and every word.
Yeah.
Like Zhao said one time, they would just pee over the side of the boat. And he said he wouldn't even go to the side of the boat because he didn't know if he was just going to get knocked in. Like you
He just peed right where he was. He's on the pee deck.
I'm sure there was a potty on the boat, but it's easier just to go right off the side. Anyway.
But nobody's getting close to the edge these days.
No, ma'am. Liu devised another plan. He ordered the remaining shipmates to call home with a satellite phone and tell their families that they had been sick or injured and tell them that they needed 5,000 yuan sent to a specific post office account.
Oh.
Each
of them?
Yeah. He wanted each of the remaining people, I think there was 15 at this point.
Jeez.
To call home and say, I need this money, send it to this account. I read a report saying that this account was Liu's girlfriend's account.
Okay.
And he was going to get that money. His plan was to get the money and go to Japan.
This feels like a story from the 1600s. I honestly can't believe, like, you're reminding me by saying, go get his bank card.
Yeah.
Send the money over here.
Oh, we're in the 2000s.
I'm like, it's 2010.
Yeah.
But this story feels old.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. As you were.
So he would go to Japan. He knew he wasn't going to be able to go back to China.
No.
But this plan did not work. The men were either not able to get the money or declined to do so.
Well, and these are men that were hard up in the first place. Like, who are they calling for this money?
Exactly. Some of them were like, dude, my family doesn't have money.
Like, yeah.
At one point, Bao Day, one of the men from the Mongolian group, had gone to one of the gang members, Huang Jinbo, and tried to get him to go against Liu. However, Huang was already allied with Liu and went straight to Liu and tattled.
I knew that was going to happen.
I know.
Oh, he grassed him up.
Yeah. July 24th, 2011, Liu went to Captain Li, who he had kept locked up all of this time.
Captain Li is still alive?
He's still there. And Liu requested that he be part of his gang. He's like, I know I've had you locked up this whole time.
Can we just call it truce?
Let's be friends.
It's not funny. But it is funny.
But what's even dumber is that Li was like, okay.
What?
Okay. Yeah. So Lou needed more members in his in order to fight off the Mongoose.
I would do the same. Okay. I'd be like, at this point,
I need to like,
I will
save my life.
Do whatever you want me to.
Well, Lou lied to Lee and told him that Bao Day was the one that killed the second officer, Wang Yongbo, which Lee was really close to.
Oh, no.
So naturally, Lee was really upset about it and agreed to be on Lou's side because he's like, oh, we're getting Bao. Like, he thought Bao was the enemy, which, yes, he was one of the enemies. But Lou was really who he needed to be.
Lou is Hitler.
Yeah. Lou set up another meeting. He told Bao that Chui Yong was planning on killing one of the crewmates. And so he ordered Bao to get Chui to come onto the deck. It was a ruse. Once Bao arrived on the deck, the gang overtook Bao and stabbed him multiple times. And then they made Bao, still alive, jump overboard.
Oh my gosh.
Chui Yong smeared Bao's blood on his face and shouted, I've been bloodied now. Like, he had a smile on his face. This was his first kill in the whole saga.
Who are these people?
The whole massacre. I know.
This is insanity.
It is. And so there was one video I watched and they're like, how the psyche like a shared
delusion.
Yeah.
This shared psychopathy. Yes, almost.
Exactly.
Jeez.
Five more of the Mongolian crew were murdered that night. Kui Ronghua, Dan Quishi, Shang Shi, Dai Fushun, and Bao Chang. They were forced to jump into the sea.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
By law, 21 plus, terms and conditions apply.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
July 25th, the engine room started to flood.
Oh, for God's sake.
Someone assumed to be Wang Yanlong, the second engineer, had opened the Kingston valve. Only Wang knew where that was.
Okay.
This caused the ship to start to tilt as water filled into the room.
Okay.
They were in jeopardy of the ship sinking. Mm-hmm. The water came rushing in and it was all hands to the pump. But when they
didn't know where it was.
They knew what room, but I don't know how they figured out how to turn it off.
Water.
Yeah. But when they pumped all the water out, the boat still wasn't working right.
Well,
they didn't sink. They were not tilting anymore, but the boat wouldn't work. Lou instructed to get anything that would float, like bits of timber and bunk frames, and tie them together into rafts and load the rafts up with any food that they could find as the boat was about to, sink or tilt, which is really weird. I know they locked up the rafts. Could they not just unlock the rafts?
I was about to say, don't they have the rafts still?
That confused me.
Okay.
So
maybe they're going to use the rafts for the people.
Okay.
They just want all the food and stuff.
On another handmade raft.
Flotation devices.
Okay.
I don't know.
Maybe. So four men, Song Guochum, Gong Zujun, Fu Yizhong, and Ding Yumin worked together to make an emergency raft. once they finished making it, they loaded what food they could, and then they all got onto the raft. As the raft started to float away, another crew member threw out a rope to them. They're like, wait, why is the raft floating away? So he throws the rope to the men to pull them back to the boat. But one of the men tossed the rope back, and he shouted, they've got knives. They're still planning on killing more men. We're not coming back to the boat.
I was about to say, I'd float on.
Yeah. The gang looked for Wang, the guy who opened the Kingston valve, and they couldn't find him anywhere, assuming that he had willingly jumped overboard like the other guy. Lou and Lee repaired the communications equipment and made a distress call.
Oh my God. Guys.
This is the last thing he would want to do, but he had to. They couldn't go anywhere.
Oh.
The ship actually stopped taking in water and did not capsize, but it was immobilized. It was left to float until help came their way. And actually, the current of the sea brought the ship and the raft with the four men back together.
Oh, no. Yeah. I've got to Google a map because okay, carry on.
So Lou ordered his gang to swing the heavy squid hooks at the raft and knock the men off the raft into the ocean. Three of the men were knocked off. Then Jiang Shilong jumped onto the raft with a harpoon and stabbed Ding Yumin.
Oh, no.
The gang refused to rescue the men that had been knocked off. Song had floated close to the boat, so Lou ordered that he be brought back up. He's like, okay, you can bring him up. Two of the men that were part of the gang, or who Lou valued, had not killed anyone at this point. This was, the two men were Xiang Li Shan and Zhao Mu Cheng. This was a problem for Lou. The captain, actually Captain Li, he brought it to Lou's attention and said to him,
shut up. Shut up, Li.
He said, what are we going to do about Zhao and Xiang? We're going to get rescued and those two haven't got blood on their hands yet. And so he needed everyone to have blood on their hands. And if so, they would be less likely to tell authorities the details of what really happened on the ship. So when Xiang heard the captain, he grabbed a squid knife. Like Xiang's here, he heard Captain Li saying this. And so he grabbed a squid knife and he was about to stab Song. Like, he's like, okay, I'll just do it without being told. Like, I'm going to save my life. But Lou stopped him. He said, no, you two just tie him up and throw him back in. Like, you don't have to stab him. Just throw him back in.
Oh.
Zhao, in his interview, says, I took Song's life vest off and tied his wrists. I don't remember if I tied his legs. Song was crying and pleading for his life, saying, Lou, you're my bro. Why are you ditching me? You don't hate me that much. I won't spill the beans when we get back. Like, just begging.
No.
Zhao was wondering if Lou would give Song another chance, but as he, like, Zhao turns his head and looks at Lou, as he turns his head, he sees the sinkers that were tied onto Song drop into the water, making a splash. So Zhao wasn't clear in this interview if he was the one that pushed Song overboard or what exactly happened. Like, either he's blocked it out in his mind or he just doesn't want to admit it.
Mm-hmm.
As the remaining 11 men on the boat awaited help to arrive, Lou and Captain Li instructed the men to tell authorities that Bao Day was the one who killed all of the others and then escaped on the raft. Lou also got all of their addresses and threatened to harm their families if they told on him. The crew waited a week for help to arrive. So here's August 12th, 2011. The ship and the 11 men were towed back to the Shidao port in the middle of a rainstorm.
Ooh.
It was like a typhoon was in the area.
Oh, awesome.
There was a bus waiting for them and an ambulance and 20 or 30 people. I think these people were family members waiting for the ship to arrive.
Okay.
The armed police tied each of their hands behind their backs and escorted them off one by one off of the ship. When the Chinese fishing authorities came on board, Captain Li Changquan pulled him to the side and gave him a piece of paper on which he had written the lie that they concocted, that once Bao De and his gang had committed the murders, they made their escape on the raft. But authorities didn't believe this story. When on the bus, they drove a short distance and stopped suddenly and were surrounded by police who had been hiding somewhere until the men were safely off the ship and on land. Then they each were put in a different police car and taken to the police station.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. Huang Jinbo was the first to crack and confess. And he was the one that was right at Lu's side the whole time.
Not so tough now.
Right. So then all of the others confessed after learning that Huang did. And everyone except Lu Guidao confessed.
Wow.
Lu held his innocence or whatever. Mm-hmm. He was not going to let it go. So November 14th of 2012, all 11 men were found guilty of crimes on the ship. Lu Guidao, Huang Jinbo, Jiang Shilong, and Lu Changjian were sentenced to death for murder and ship hijacking.
Wow. So you can't kill someone on the high seas.
No, nobody. Maybe one person, but 22... you're going to have a problem.
Yeah, that's no bueno.
Captain Li Changquan was sentenced to death for murder. Wang Ping was sentenced to death with reprieve for murder and ship hijacking.
Wow.
In China, a reprieve is a two-year suspended sentence where the execution is only carried out if the convicted commits further crimes during the suspension period.
Okay.
It's like, if you're good.
If you don't commit any other crimes.
If you're good, you'll get life in prison.
Okay. All right.
So Feng Xingyan was sentenced to life imprisonment for murder. Mei Linsheng and Chui Yong were sentenced to 15 years imprisonment for murder.
Surprising.
Mm-hmm. Well, they weren't in it the whole time.
Well, yeah. And like, how can you even make sense of who was doing what and killed who? And
I mean, I guess if
most
of the stories match.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
It does feel like they probably all told the most truth because.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. So Xiang Lishan was sentenced to 5 years imprisonment with a $10,000 fine for murder and theft. Zhao, whose real name is assumed to be Duan Zifeng, was sentenced to 4 years of imprisonment for murder. Remember, he's the one telling the story in this interview. And he was just watching everything happen until the very end. While in prison awaiting trial, Lu shared a cell with a man facing a possible death sentence. Lu tried to encourage that man to join his escape attempt.
Oh, gosh, Lu. Will it ever end with you?
Oh, it will. But the man told authorities the next day, he's like, I'm not going to be a party. So after this, Lu was tied to his bed by all four limbs. Until his execution day.
Oh my gosh, how long was that?
Let's see, that was in 2012. So he on March 23rd of 2017, so 5 years.
Whoa.
The Supreme Court of China authorized the death penalty to happen of the five men that were on death row.
Goodness gracious.
Zhao talked about walking past Lu's cell in his handcuffs and shackles. As he was leaving prison, he said, Lu saw me and lifted his hand. He couldn't move very much because he was tied. but he lifted his right hand and pointed at me. And then he pulled his hand back towards his head like this, like a gun, like he was pulling a trigger. And he was smiling, just like he was smiling when he killed Second Officer Wang Yangbo. I'm sure all the others, but
psychotic. Sending a
chill, yeah. So I wish I had more to tell you about all the victims. I know this has been a long episode. I wish I could tell you more about each one of them. They all had a story and a purpose. What I can do is tell you their names.
Tell us their names.
Which I already have in the story, mm-hmm. but I'm just going to give them a little bit of honor here at the end. So murdered were Bao Day, Day Fushun, Xia Qiang, Wen Dao, Wen Mi, Yu Peng, Lu Gang, Wang Yongbo, Jiang Shutao, Chen Guzhong, Bo Fujun, Wu Guzi, Shan Guashi, Kui Ronghua, Bao Baochang, Song Guchun. Missing on the boat were Shuang Shi, Ding Yumen, Fu Yizhong, Wang Yanlong, Ma Yuchao, and Gang Zuchun. All ages on the boat ranging from 19 years old to 60 years old.
Oh my. I was going to ask about the people that were missing.
Yeah.
They never found them.
Yeah. Well, I don't know why Ding Yumen is part of the missing list, because he was the one stabbed on the raft at the very end.
So he's dead.
Yeah. I mean, they're all presumed
maybe dead. His body was never recovered.
None of them were recovered. Well, they were all true. In the ocean.
Good Lord.
Whew.
Elena.
Crazy.
I don't even know what to say. It's so sad that these men were like, oh, finally I can just do this job, mm-hmm. 2 years, squirrel some money away.
Yeah.
And it was hell.
Yeah.
From the minute they got on the boat. Let's talk about the chef who epiphanied all this stuff.
Yes. Isn't that...
What? Tell, like... Was he like, see?
Oh, yeah. He was... I mean, I don't know what he said in the end, but he...
had this premonition?
Yeah. I mean, I've had dreams,
mm-hmm.
and thoughts of things that have happened, but to... Whoa.
He just... There was a vibe, and he could not let that go.
Right.
And he jumped off.
Yeah.
He jumped off the ship and was like swimming around.
Yeah. And remember, Lou wasn't even on the boat.
That's right.
At the very beginning when he did this.
This is wild.
Yeah.
Wow.
Ooh, I got chills just thinking about it.
Oh. Oh.
But yeah, that was a lot of talking.
Don't ever want to go on a boat. Like, I've never been on a cruise, and we talk about it all the time.
Yeah.
And I mean, this is a far different than a cruise.
Yeah.
Believe me. Hissing squids and peeing off the side and all this stuff. But I just, like, it freaks me out to be on the ocean.
Yeah.
On the open ocean.
I know. Chris begs me to go on a cruise. I always refuse.
What is in the ocean? Aliens. Story for another time.
If you want to know about aliens, go listen to, what episode was that?
The cattle mutilations.
Anyways.
Oof. Well, thanks for telling their stories. That was quite a ride. Mm-hmm. I felt miserable the whole time.
I'm sorry about
that. So, very, very good storytelling.
Thank you.
Because I felt like I was there.
Okay.
That was great. Let's do it again sometime.
All right, we will.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Cousins on Crime. Get connected with us by becoming a free member on our Patreon. Or for just $5 a month, you'll have access to bonus episodes, discussion groups, and much more. If you can't afford $5 a month, we get it. Inflation, am I right? Please consider leaving us a positive review and rating wherever you listen.
And don't forget merch. support our podcast and show the love by sporting t-shirts with our latest designs or grab an evidence bag to keep the chain of custody for all your valuables. Don't forget to follow our show on your favorite streaming app so you never miss an episode, and get photos and updates on our Instagram at Cousins on Crime Podcast or our Cousins on Crime Facebook page. Have a case suggestion? Email us at cousinsoncrime@gmail.com.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.